Today, as we look at this, we're going to start in verses, chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, and I will go along as we go along, okay? Verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule through the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel." You can stop right there. If you remember last week, right, the Medo-Persian Empire came in and it was over for Belshazzar. And I made the comment, well, he accepted the gold chain and all the gifts because what did it matter? They were going to have a new regime. But we see that, again, Daniel rises to the top. Boy, I love that idea. That God is looking for a good man who will continually rise to the top, whatever the occasion is, and women. But in this story, you know, we have this leader, sort of charismatic leader. And it's become evident that Daniel has a special endowment to everybody he comes in contact with. So just this little edge that he has. And we know that it's because of his being sold out to the Lord and the Spirit of God upon his life. And so that makes him a little cut above the others. Not that God doesn't love everybody, but because of his devotion to his God and because of the Holy Spirit's influence, it's what inspires Daniel to do his work. Man, you want to live with inspiration? Draw close to the Lord. Amen. I don't want to just exist in this life. You know, I want to get up each morning and feel God's presence and purpose in my life. And you know what? Everybody has that. Don't let the devil bring you down. But if you haven't found what it is that inspires you and rings your bell every morning, then I ask you to search that out. Pray. God will show you that. You know, it may be not what you're doing. It may be that you're quenching his spirit somehow. But each day should be a brand new day. You know, tons of possibilities. I love my life. Some days I'm a little bit depressed, but for the most part, I love my life. And there's just so many horizons that can be explored in so many fields in our day. You know, there's so many that could be accomplished. I'm one of the type of people that likes to accomplish things. That makes me feel good about my life. If I don't accomplish things, I still feel good about my life because he loves me. But I don't want to sit. I want to continue going forward. So this endowment, you know, Daniel, he just keeps rising to the top no matter what ruler comes into play here. And we see that he has exceptional qualities right from the beginning. Remember that? Remember how he made an appeal to the first king? He made an appeal actually to one of his advisors. Look, I don't want to eat that food because I don't want to pollute myself. Can you please figure out a way that... So he had this manner about him. But it was all driven by the fact that he wanted to please God. And I used to ask kids that when I went to Cornerstone, one of the things I would ask them, I said, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? I probably said this before. I hope I don't start repeating myself as I get older. But I would say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they would say, well, you know, I was thinking about being a doctor, or, you know, I want to be a welder or whatever. I said, well, first of all, what you want to be is a man or woman of God. And then from there, everything else will flow. I'm trying to recenter them, you know. So he had these exceptional qualities, and everywhere he went, he was rewarded for them. And remember, this is Babylon. I mean, a new regime has come in, but you think we got it bad in America, or it's headed towards getting bad. Actually, we don't have it that bad in America, but it's heading towards worse. Think about living in Babylon. Now, first of all, you don't have any elected officials. You got a supreme ruler, as we'll see in the story today. When he says it's over, it's over. You don't tick him off. He rules with an iron fist. But it's worth noting that Daniel was loyal to whoever was in charge. Don't you find that fascinating? I mean, I don't know the character of this new guy, Darius, you know. But he remains loyal. And it appears that whoever Daniel's working for, that he has a genuine concern for those people. Because they're made in the image of God. And they're human beings, and they deserve respect. And they deserve the benefit of the doubt to do the best that he can for those people. You know, that's something that is gone in our country. I don't care who's in charge. There's a total disrespect in some areas for those in authority. Look, it's much easier to respect somebody who we respect, right? But that's the point. The point is that can't we find anything good to say about anybody? It's epidemic in our country now. So at any rate, he seems to even, you know, like this guy some, as we'll see today. And he never wavered. Remember when we first started this series, I said that the prophet Jeremiah had told the people of Israel, look, you're going to go into captivity. Don't even think about it. It's going to happen. And when you get there, I want you to settle down, have families, and seek the good and the prosperity of the people that I'm taking you to. Remember that? He never deviated from that. We know that he was a man of the scripture, because if we went farther in Daniel, he was reading them constantly. He recognized that their captivity was going to be over soon. So I think this is amazing. And there was probably a lot of things he could have grown despondent and bitter about. Amen? And apply it to your life today. Are you still seeking the peace and prosperity of those that God's put you in contact with? Or are you bucking against the goads and don't want to do it because you don't like the person because he's not a Christian? Okay, we don't have that liberty. We're to serve and be a light. We're to be the best employees that we could possibly be wherever we're at. And if you suffer some persecution, count it all joy. Because God is allowing you to understand what it was like when Jesus was here. And it'll build character in you. So at any rate. But you know, verse 2, it says, the satrap... with three administrators over them, of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them, so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself. This is a distinguished individual. Among the administrators and the satraps, by his exceptional qualities. Exceptional qualities. And we'll see there were some what those were. That the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Uh-oh, trouble's about ready to come. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find ground for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. Did you hear that? How do you discredit an individual? You attack their character, right? You look for dirt. Anybody know that's what goes on in the political process nowadays? I mean, I laugh myself silly that Trump called Kasich a baby. I mean, really, is that the best you can do? I mean, it's just that's what happens, right? These guys in this story are going to try to look for something against Daniel because they don't like the fact that this foreigner is getting prominence. Trying to pick him apart, dress him down, smear and slander his name. They forgot who's God, who he served, right? I don't know, were they jealous? They're probably jealous. We know that behind all this, because Satan's always been against God's people, he's in the mix. Whatever their motivation was, they dug around and they said, well, how does he conduct himself in the affairs of the king? Is he honest? Is he reliable? Trustworthy? He's all these and more. What are we going to do? And by the way, that's the type of man you want in power. Amen? A man of character. Not a character, but a man of character. I'm doing pretty good today without mentioning any names. But the bottom line is that they went to conniving, and they realized that they could never tempt Daniel to do anything illegal. That was not what he was going to do. He was not going to do anything illegal, but they could attempt to make his faithful religious practices illegal. You see? We know he's a religious guy. We know he's whatever Yahweh says he's going to do. So let's make that illegal. Boy, this has so many applications to our lives today. The question is can people find what's at fault with us, or do they have to make what we worship illegal and how we live our lives to God? And they're doing it. Unfortunately, I think they're finding a lot of fault with us too. But look at, none of us are without fault. Amen? I mean, we don't know what Daniel was not without sin, but he had exemplary character. He was above reproach. He made a good elder. He just was just a fine, outstanding man. So they couldn't find any charges against him. So here's what they start to do. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of God." Going to try to trip him up now, right? So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever." Guess who's missing from this entourage? Daniel, right? "The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except you, O king." That's very dangerous territory to lift a man up like that. "Shall be thrown into the lion's den." You know, whenever Satan wants to, you know, sort of spin out his plans, he's cunning. We actually, through the Holy Spirit, can be more cunning. But he uses some sort of flattery that applies to the pride of that man. Not only that, from King Darius's point of view, I mean, he's new. It's a new regime. Let's get everybody on the same page. But he didn't take the time to think about this, as we will see. "Now, O king, issue the decree," verse 8, "and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered." Write it down. Put it in writing. "In accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. He didn't have any support system to say, "Now wait a second, I got to go and I'm going to go pray about this." Didn't have the Holy Spirit guiding his life to have a flag go up and say, "Wait a second, maybe I better think about this." No prayer. No prayer for 30 days. Verse 10. I'm getting ahead of myself. "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he has done before." I'm telling you, talk about a picture of a man who's not easily swayed. Before the eyes of everyone. They say that there were these rooms on top of the buildings where they just had mullions in it on both sides or on the sides, so because it was hot in Babylon, that the air would blow through. And he just goes up, he just does what he always does. And it appears that he wasn't so much that it's going to be in your face, but he wasn't going to hide it from anybody either. Because why? He had a relationship with God. I'm sure he was praying about this. He was probably praying about a lot of things. But he knew where his strength and his power and his insight came from, and he couldn't go a day without it. He could have compromised, right? I'm thinking, he could have left the city and prayed, right? He could have went in his room and prayed there. Or could have found someplace else to pray. He was giving a witness to everybody, right? By him praying there, that he was saying, look, this is the source of all my strength and power. Prayer is a humbling posture, right? Unless you're demanding things from God, which you really don't want to get into that mode. It's a humbling posture. And because Daniel feared no man. And I read this quote this week. Daniel feared only the Lord, and when you fear the Lord, you do not need to fear anyone else. Isn't that great? When you fear the Lord, you don't need to fear anyone else. What the apostles, we had an example of them, right? In Acts. What they said when they were faced with compromise and threats to keep silent, they stood boldly and said, look, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that's what we're going to do. Look at the king's response here. And well, let's see what the satraps and all those people said first. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any God, and notice it's only for 30 days, right? That's another thing. 30 days, oh, it's a big deal. Got a whole lifetime. But he did it anyways. He still went and prayed. Who prays to any God or man except to you, O king, would be thrown in the lion's den? Did you not say that? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, oh, by the way, he's not one of us. They throw it in there. Pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. Look, at somebody who has supreme authority, you don't want to tell them that they're being disobeyed. Proud men don't like to be tampered with. Does that sound like anybody you know? No. Okay, good. Hopefully it's not a cameo of any one of us. Sometimes we can all fall into that, though, can't we? Amen. Listen how the king responds. This is where I was getting ahead of myself. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. I mean, there must be relationship going on here, right? Yes. There must be the idea that he likes Daniel. And that he values Daniel. Because he's going to look for a way to get out of this. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. So bring me those books of the laws of the Medes and Persians. Maybe we can find a loophole here. Is there any way that I can save face and still let this man go? Says he couldn't find out. 15, then the men went as a group to the king to remind him, quit looking. Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. I mean, you're going to deconstruct the whole regime. You can't do this. We got to go through. And of course, they're probably delighted, right? Verse 16. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. So he knows that this is a servant. Man, you're in leadership. You want servants around you. And you want to be the example of a servant as a leader. Right? I can serve for somebody who knows how to serve. If somebody prances around like that, you know, like there's somebody who needs everybody to serve them, I don't have as much respect for that person. I'm just sorry. But if I know he cares and he has a servant's heart and he's trustworthy and reliable, I want him right there. Because how do I know? Maybe God will raise him up someday. Of course, in this Medo-Persian Empire, there's no chance of that. But nonetheless, servants' hearts. Who was the greatest servant example we've ever seen? Jesus Christ. Servanthood. Serving people. Do you have joy when you serve people? When you bless somebody? That's the kind of people God wants. And is that not what Jeremiah said? Go into these places, I don't care where you're at, and serve those people. Show them what it is to have somebody love them when they don't deserve it. Amen? Amen. This is good stuff. 17. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation may not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to say, did you notice that in a sense, Darius did a prayer for Daniel? I forgot that. The king said, may your God whom you serve continually rescue. It's sort of an offhanded prayer. But this man is so upset that he can't sleep that evening. He had a bad night. And you know, the king, you don't want a king to have a bad night in an Oriental culture. That would have brought him just about anything to brighten his countenance. Wine, women, entertainment, whatever you want. We don't want the king to be, because the king gets too depressed, their heads might roll, right? But he did none of this. And it appears that, I don't know that he fasted, but he had no appetite for food. This upset him. It says at verse 19, at the first light of dawn, in other words, as soon as that sun came up, man, he was out the door. The king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God. He knows a lot about this, doesn't he? Has your God, whom you serve continually? What a resume. From an unbelieving heathen type king. It's just amazing the character of this young man. Well, by now he's 80 years old, actually. Some believe up towards 90 years old. Ben, whom you serve continually has been able to rescue from the lions? You got that picture? I love this picture. I don't know if you've seen it. Oh yeah, I got to pull this down. This is one of the most famous pictures of him sitting in the lion's den, you know. look at the expressions that the artist painted of these lions looking at him, you know? Yeah, here's one a little bit ferocious, but he's not moving. His bark's bigger than his bite. Yeah, people just laying, Daniel's just sitting there. Another famous painting has Daniel with their back to the lions, looking out a window. Of course, we know that he'll say that the Lord sent an angel, and there's some that depict that. But I like that. You can leave it up there. Just put this one on here so I can see a little better. Thank you. Where was I at? I just love that. That picture's worth 1,000 words, isn't it? That's a good one there. Listen to Daniel's answer, too. This is a stellar individual, huh? Daniel answered, "O King, live forever." You know, I thought, no trace of guile. Of course, he's the king, too. You know, you don't want to, that was proper protocol to say something like that. No self-pity, no animosity, just joy. This is a guy you want to be around, right? "My God sent his angel and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight." Here again, the strength of his resolve and faith is the fact that he knows that as far as he can do, he's right with God. "And, by the way," he says, "nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O King. So I've not hurt you personally. You look at my record. Young boy, I came here. Always served whoever it was. Above the board. Gave my whole life to the service. All the gifts and talents that God gave me, I put at your disposal. God raised me up. I've always done what was right. And I'm not about to start to do you any wrong. What wrong am I doing to you by praying where I get my strength and my insight and my integrity and everything else from?" The king was overjoyed. He's happy, right? "And gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God." See, no ambiguity. The bottom line is he was without a wound because he trusted in his God. That's what preempted this whole thing. Not that necessarily the angel shut the mouths or this, that, or the other, but the bottom line was is he trusted God. Now, I want to say something. The story doesn't end that way. I don't want to paint some rosy picture, right? That nothing will ever happen. But it did in this case. You know, you can read Hebrews 11, the people were sawn in two. Hung upside down. I mean, sometimes it will cost you your life in this life, but you'll have eternal life. So let's go on. "At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones." It's hard to choke that down, isn't it? Only thing I can say is Eastern monarchs had absolute power over their subjects. And it seems cruel. It seems cruel to me that the families were destroyed along with the conspirators, but it was an official Persian law, all right? And I think the reason they did it, they didn't want any remaining members of the dictator's family, not dictators, they didn't want any of the remaining family later on to conspire and kill them. That would be one aspect of it, because they ordered the father's execution. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but it was also meant to instill fear. You want to rule by fear. instead of being benevolent. I mean, these things are hard for us, but you know, he's not claiming he's a born-again Christian, right? This is some Oriental despot who happens to be inclined to like Daniel. So we don't take it as a norm. But at any rate, hard to choke those things down. But they're in the Bible, right? I mean, if you were going to try to write the Bible and make things look good, you'd leave stuff like that out, right? That's what's so great about the Bible. It just tells it like it is. These are actual historical accounts. 25, then King Darius wrote all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land. In other words, just as Nebuchadnezzar decided at the end, he published this thing throughout all the kingdom. This is very much like. And you know what he writes is theologically sound. I mean, this could have been written by Moses or anybody that was someone who knew God. But he's going to give public testimony of the fact that he wants people to reverence and look towards this God. Look what he says. First of all, he's saying to everybody in his kingdom, may you prosper. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. Now, first of all, you can't make people do what's not in their heart. But at least he's making an attempt to protect them, probably. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. Where did you get this insight at? Right? I mean, Paul could have wrote this. David could have wrote it. Maybe Daniel was already talking to him about this. Huh? Maybe. He rescues and he saves. Boy, that's talking about Christ, huh? He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. I mean, these were some hungry animals. They looked tame there, but when they threw those other people down, they didn't even hit the floor. Some people say, oh, you know, they weren't hungry. And that's why, you know, they fed them ahead. No. The lion, the angel shut the mouth. So what is he doing here? He's glorifying God. Prophetically. Playing into it. And finally, verse 28, it says, so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, Cyrus's name comes in there. And if you remember, we know from 2 Chronicles 36, 22-23, that Daniel actually lived long enough to see Cyrus issue a decree to bring the people back. God allowed him to see this long life, this long spectrum of things. And he got to see Cyrus, which was amazing in and of itself. We don't have time to go read it, but it's in 2 Chronicles 36. So here we are. Daniel lived in one of the most heathen countries of the world, Babylon. Notorious, right? Babylon is notorious for excess, brutality, luxury, idolatry. And yet Daniel, if you look at it, do the timeline, was the prime minister. Actually, the word that he had here was a president, if you look it up in the original language. One of the presidents over an area. Seven kings he lived under. And two empires. And in each and every time, the Lord lifted him up so that he was a man who was distinguished because of his character and his love for his God. You know, today, whether we face a fiery furnace or the roaring lion, we're in the Lord's care, amen? We need to be concerned about our relationship with God and distinguishing ourselves in this world as we are the people of God. that we're that we're different. Not that we're better. We're all sinners saved by grace, but because what Christ did in our lives, we're above the fray. That people would seek us out. That we would have wisdom for this world. But you know what? What was it linked to in Daniel's life? Prayer. This man had a morning, probably noon and evening. He was down on his knees, constantly speaking and conversing with God. That's where the source of his strength came from. That's how we'll stand. Amen? Okay, let's stand and sing this last song.